This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
April is Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month, and Angela Gross is the Executive Director of CASA of Douglas County in here today. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me, Kyle.
So I guess, first of all, give people kind of an overview of what your local CASA office does.
Yeah, so our local office is a small paid staff of 5 employees. We run off of volunteers, so we have a larger volunteer base that we recruit, support, and train. And those volunteers are the ones that work directly with children who are wards of the court due to abuse and or neglect. And they stay with that child throughout their entire case, and they speak up for them in court and speak up for their best interest.
So these children that you're supporting then are all in foster care, right?
That is correct.
Now, what's the age range?
0 to 21, usually up to 18, but if there's any intellectual or developmental disabilities, and up to 21.
And how long, any idea how long the CASA program's been around, like on a national level?
On national level, it began in 1977. Our local program was 1993.
Wow, so that is 32 years.
Yes.
That's a long time. Obviously, the need is still there, and it's probably really grown in the past few years.
It has. It's grown a lot just from the beginning, and it was judges who actually started CASA. They saw the need of, you know, having this impartial person who could bring them information of just the facts of what's happening in this child's life, not just in therapy or not just with the family, but everything happening in that child's life. And that's what the CASA brings to the court and to the judge.
This is not your typical volunteer gig.
It is not. There is quite a bit of training, a little shy of 40 hours of classroom time mixed with some in-court observation. There's a lot of background checks. And then we ask that they commit to at least the length of a case, which on average is about 20 months. They can be shorter. They can be several years. And we do that because we want there to be a consistent adult with this child.
Well, and that's one of the elements that these kids have dealt with probably throughout at least a portion, if not a majority of their life, is really a lack of consistency.
Yeah, you know, there's, unfortunately, if they're going to be put into a foster home, they may be changing schools, they may be changing their doctors, their therapist may change multiple times, and depending where their case is with DHS, their caseworker changes as well. So there's a lot of caring adults in their life, but they're in and out. There's not that one constant person who can really pick up on just those small changes that we may start to see in a child.
Now, how long have you been executive director of CASA?
Coming up on 5 years in May.
And that's a long time to be with the organization. What kind of brought you to it?
A lot of things. I've always worked in fields of helping, and I always wanted to work with children. Previously, I worked for community mental health. I had my own battle with cancer, and that kind of just made me focus on what I really wanted to be doing in life and helped me take the leap into the nonprofit world.
And in the last 5 years, has much changed with what you do?
Yes. I mean, there is, just locally, so in the state of Oregon, there are a few counties that are working on family preservation, so really focusing on trying to get kids and families services before things become such a problem that the courts are involved and they become a ward of the court. So that changes how we focus on, we advocate for the child, but we also focus on the family as a whole. There's a lot of studies showing that children do better whenever they can stay with their family of origin, even if it's not 100% perfect.
So kind of, I mean, you gave us an overview, but go a little more in depth about what kinds of things CASA volunteers do.
Yeah, so after they're trained and they get assigned to a case, they meet with the caseworker, they meet with the foster parents and the child. They're required to meet with the child once a month. It's usually quite a bit more often. You know, they'll go to their sporting events, their school festivals or meetings. And they also do a lot of investigative work. So they have to read all the documents that come in about this child from their therapist, from the doctors, from DHS, and about the parents to see what's potentially falling through the cracks. And they're also researching, you know, knowing what is out in our community available for these children and what's going to match that child's needs best, because every child is different.
So for volunteers, is there kind of a typical skill set that they have?
Being a good observer, yes. That being said, we really want our volunteer pool to be a wide variety. We want them to kind of match the pool of children that we're taking care of. So we want people with different life backgrounds. I think it could be a little intimidating, think, oh gosh, I'm going to be in court. You're not a therapist, you're not an attorney. We just want everyday people who can connect with the child, make observations, and then speak up in court.
And a lot of people, other than maybe a traffic ticket, have probably never been in a court, and that's probably because it's so much different than television, if you haven't figured that out. It could be a little daunting for people.
It can be, and that's why we do the court observation, and then when someone takes on their first case, they have a mentor as well as their program supervisor who can go to court with them as many times as needed to kind of build that up. Our judge who oversees these cases, she's amazing. She knows our CASAs. She knows their role. She's very inviting. In the report, we send in a report before every hearing. That's usually one of the first documents she may look at just to kind of get the overview of what's been going on in this child's life since the last time she's seen them in court.
And when they're in court, what kinds of things are they there for the judge to decide?
That can really depend on what the hearing is about. But again, our report goes over every part of the child's life, education, health, what's going on with the family. And so it could really just depend on what's going on with that child. And it's constantly changing.
And how long is a typical courtroom appearance? I mean, is this like an hour or two or...
Some of them are rather short and can be about 20 minutes. If there are hearings where there's, you know, contested, meaning there's argument over if this child's going to go home or stay in care, those can be a bit longer.
And what kinds of other organizations does CASA interface with mainly?
We work with all of the different organizations that are working with these same kids. So like, you know, Douglas Cares, FARA, any community organization that's offering support to these children, therapy, the forensic interviews, or working with the parents, we stay connected with. And that's really important because then our volunteers know what to advocate for. They know what services are available for the child and for the family.
Talk more about the training that's required to be a CASA. A lot of people, if you're wanting to help a volunteer organization, somebody says 40 hours of training, you might go, what? But explain why you do that.
There's just a lot to know. So the training, we go over, you know, what the court procedures are. There's a lot of legal jargon that they have to be trained on. But we also go over a lot of things about cultural competency and how to, you know, mesh in and really connect with the children and the families in a organic, natural way. So it is a lot. However, we have an amazing trainer, and we always base our classes on the needs of the current volunteers who are training. So sometimes we only meet for 2 hours once a week. Sometimes we do 8 hours once a week and go through it really quickly. So we're always willing to adjust to meet people's schedules.
And explain what you do kind of in vetting CASAs.
Yeah, so there is a state and a federal background check, and then they also have background checks through Oregon Department of Human Services to see if there's any involvement with Child Protective Services.
So obviously you want to make sure you've got the right people there helping you.
Yep, it's important. And, you know, the one thing, you know, someone may think, oh, you know, back in my teen years, I got into a little bit of trouble. That's not necessarily a disqualifier. Again, we want people that may have some life experience that these kids can relate to. So if it's been long enough and they can talk about how that has been handled, that could move forward depending on what it is.
All right, more with Angela Gross when we get back on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio at 4. Live from Salem tomorrow, State Representative Port Boyce will join us for Inside Douglas County. Angela Gross is with us today, the Executive Director of CASA of Douglas County. We're doing this during Child Abuse Prevention and Awareness Month. So you have a staff of 5. What kind of number of volunteers do you have right now, people that are CASAs?
Yeah, so we have a total of 39 volunteers. Out of that, 24 are the court-appointed special advocates. So our other volunteers help with events, office work, things not related directly to children.
And to be a CASA with the court appearances, you kind of need some kind of flexibility in your personal schedule, especially if you're working, right?
Somewhat, yes. The court hearings, we usually have a good idea ahead of time when those are going to happen. So there is some flexibility. That being said, we have mentors and program supervisors who can jump in and go to court. So if you have a vacation, if you just can't get that day off of work, they meet and go over everything, and they can do that for the volunteers.
So you said how many CASAs right now then?
24.
So how many do you wish you had?
I wish I had about 50.
Wow. So does that mean some of these folks are doing multiple cases?
Yes. Most of our CASAs are taking on more than one case. Anybody who's new, we ask them to start with just one. And then depending on what they can handle, we sit down and meet with them quite often. And they are assigned more cases if they choose to.
And would you ever do more than 2 cases?
That really depends. So some cases just means one child. Some cases could be 7 children. So it's a little flexible there.
Right. So you could have a whole family. So you're not just trying to help out one kid. You're maybe trying to help out a whole family.
Yep. And sometimes when we have, you know, a really large family, 7-plus kids, and they are in different foster homes, we will put 2 CASAs on that case, and they share it together because it's just a lot of work.
Now, I imagine that you talk with other CASA directors maybe around the state and beyond?
Yep, we actually meet once a week.
Wow. So what kinds of things do you learn from that?
Everything. You know, it's really just kind of an open forum where we can talk about fundraising or, you know, recruitment efforts, changes with funding, anything and everything. We all just get together and talk about what we have questions about and help brainstorm with each other.
Now, you mentioned funding. How are you funded?
So it is a mix. We get some state funding. We have a lot of grants, which covers a lot of our funding. Community donations is really a big part of this. Something a lot of people don't know is that CASA programs are required to be in every county in the state of Oregon, yet the state funds we receive are not enough to actually run our programs. So
you would think maybe if it's a requirement that this would almost be like an element of a state agency or something.
Yes, and you know, it is hard not having that full funding, but the pro to it is being a standalone nonprofit, we are going by the standards we believe are best for that child's interest. We're not having to meet certain numbers. We're not having to overload ourselves.
Well, and I would imagine this is one type of area where you don't want to get overloaded because just the burden of dealing with a case or two is pretty substantial.
It is. And, you know, of course, my dream is that we have a CASA for every child in care, but I want every child to have a CASA who has their full ability to focus on that child in that case, because that's what's going to make a difference in the future.
Now, so you're a nonprofit, you get money from other places,
mm-hmm.
and you've got a special event coming up, right?
We do. We have our annual 5K and Family Fun Day on Saturday, April 26th, and it's going to be at River Forks Park.
So talk more about what's going to be going on out there.
Lots of fun stuff. So we have the 5K for those of you who like to walk and run, and we have people pushing strollers, people who really want to get their times in and race well. But the free family fun event, we have face painting, we have a scavenger hunt, which was quite a big hit last year. We're working on having a reptile group to come out and do some shows. And then we have different community partners coming out. The Family Development Center is going to be coming out. Douglas Cares will be coming out with a big parachute. So just lots of activities for kids and families that will be completely free. The only part that has a paid fee is the race entry, and that is for our fundraising purposes.
And it's just a 5K. There's not a longer option, right?
Nope, just 5K.
Now, for you folks that are maybe more energetic, I will tell you from experience that downtown Roseburg is 9 miles away. So if you were to run or walk out there, do the event and come back, you've got about 21, 22 miles in.
Yeah, if you want to be that ambitious.
So you could add, you know, if you're trying to do marathons or something like that, a way to get out there. And you're going to have probably good weather for this, the way that it's shaping up right now, because we don't see any rain really in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, every year we have lucked out. At the worst, we've had a little drizzle early in the morning, but this year's looking like it's going to be really nice.
Now, you're obviously a nonprofit organization. You've got a board of directors. Explain what they do.
So our board of directors provide a lot of oversight over, you know, the financial runnings of our programs and kind of those bigger picture things. They help connect us with people in the community who may be able to help with other things and just provide us with support with things that we don't necessarily have in-house because we are a smaller organization.
And now you mentioned having 5 staff, right?
Yep.
So what kinds of things do they do?
So we have a gal at our front desk. We have a financial person who's really just in charge of grants, which is a really big role. There's myself, and then there's 2 program supervisors, and those are the individuals that work directly with the volunteers who are working with the children.
And where are you guys located at?
We are at 1253 Northwest Highland off of, is that Edenbauer? No. Garden Valley.
Yeah.
I always get my street names mixed up.
So let's see here. What other things should people know about CASA of Douglas County?
Just anything people can do to support us would be wonderful. So donations are always great, but even if you're following us on social media, that helps bring up our numbers, it helps get the word out, it helps spread community awareness. There's a lot of people in this county that still hear CASA and they think of CASA de Blin, which was a homeless shelter for teens, and they don't understand what CASA of Douglas County is. So just being part of that, we have bottle drop campaigns so people can donate their bottles. And then again, they can be a CASA volunteer. That would be amazing. But they can also just volunteer to help with events as well.
Now, as you have been doing this for 5 years now, it would seem kind of taxing for you and your staff. How do you guys keep yourself, you know, rejuvenated or kind of take a break here and there?
We are a very close staff, so we take care of each other. We all kind of know what times of year things get busy, and we plan for like, okay, who's going to be taking some days off after this? And just really being supportive. You know, sometimes if our program members have to go into court and hear something really difficult, it's just them coming into my office and just, you know, being able to talk and have someone listen. We have a lot of fun activities. We do social events with our CASAs, so we try to make it more of a family atmosphere where we're just there to support each other.
So what's the average age of a CASA?
You know, that could be a little bit harder to say. So historically, it has been people who are retired. In the last 3 years, we've really been getting people in their 30s and 40s. So I would probably say average is going to be around 50.
But obviously part of that is tied into the time of day for court hearings and that kind of thing for some people.
Yes, that is to have the time to go to the court hearings, you know, either being retired or having a job that allows that flexibility.
And I'm guessing as well, kind of the, you know, maturity, for lack of a better word, that as you go through a lot of your life yourself, you realize that the need, that kind of need is there.
Yeah, especially, so a lot of our volunteers, you know, they're ex-teachers, they're ex-nurses, they've been in fields where they're caring and working with people, but we are, again, like I said, we're seeing younger generations coming in and just wanting to be part of their community and do something to help the community.
And again, the event coming up is called?
It is the CASA 5K and Family Fun Day.
And how do people find out more about CASA or get signed up for your event?
They can either go to our Facebook page or they can go to our website, which is www.casaofdouglascounty.org.
All right, Angela Gross, Executive Director of CASA of Douglas County. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.